Hello, I'm Justine Green with the BBC News. French and Belgian officials say one of the suicide bombers involved in Tuesday's deadly Brussels airport attack was involved in making the bombs used in last November's Paris attacks. The officials, speaking off the record, say DNA from Najim Lachrouie was found on suicide vests used in Paris. From Brussels, here's Chris Morris.
A clear link is being established between the Paris and Brussels attacks, and the French Prime Minister Manuel Valls, visiting Brussels, said Europe was at war and it had to unite.
Against us, we have a terrorist organisation with its strike forces, its strongholds, its resources, its affiliates and cells hiding in our society. We are at war. A war has been declared against us. Our determination must be total.
The attacks are not just the work of isolated cells, it would appear, but of a network of violent militants based in Europe who will be trying to strike again.
More details are emerging of the people who were killed and injured in the Brussels attacks. Azelma Tapia Ruiz, a 37-year-old Peruvian, was travelling to New York with her Belgian husband and 3-year-old twin daughters when she was killed. A 20-year-old Belgian student, Leopold Hex, died in the metro station blast. Those killed or wounded came from around 40 different countries, reflecting the cosmopolitan nature of Brussels. The European Union Home Affairs Commissioner says a shortage of trust between EU member states is limiting the information they exchange on security matters. Dimitri Avramopoulos told the BBC that all EU members had to think in a more European way in order to prevent attacks such as those in Brussels. Mr. Avramopoulos said everybody had to understand that the era of separate national policies was over.
Do they really believe that by following this line they will be successful in fighting terrorism? The events, the occurrences give the answer. And the road to follow is only one. Cooperate more, exchange information and deepen even more the trust between us.
The campaign group Human Rights Watch says Sudan's security forces have used sexual violence, intimidation and other forms of abuse to silence female human rights activists. Jahan Henry, author of the Human Rights Watch report, told the BBC about the methods used to intimidate protesters.
In addition to sort of general sexual harassment of women, young women, student protesters, for example, but also other popular protests. In addition to that, there have also been many cases of women activists who are arrested, detained arbitrarily, and whilst in detention faced sexual abuse. And there have been rape cases as well in this context.
You're listening to the latest world news from the BBC. Australia says aircraft debris found off the coast of East Africa earlier this month is highly likely to be part of a Malaysia Airlines jet that has been missing for 2 years. The Australian Transport Minister Darren Chester said technical analysis of two pieces of wreckage had concluded that they were almost certainly from flight MH370. Malaysia says it's awaiting permission from South Africa to conduct a search of its coast for more debris. Officials in the Republic of Congo say Denis Sassou Nguesso, who has been in power for more than 30 years, has won Sunday's election. According to the results announced by the Interior Ministry in the capital of Brazzaville, he received just over 60% of the vote. Voting has just ended in New Zealand in a referendum to decide whether to replace the national flag, which features the British Union Jack, with a silver fern design. The Prime Minister John Key said the existing flag was a relic of British colonial days. John Donison reports from Auckland.
The turnout has been pretty good. More than 2 million people have voted. That's over 60% turnout. So not bad, but I was here a few weeks ago when this campaign, the referendum was getting underway, and I have to say, a lot of people are pretty indifferent about it. The Prime Minister, John Key, he was a big proponent of change, but most people don't seem that fired up about the issue, and the polls suggest that after a year-long campaign, $20 million spent, the polls suggest that New Zealanders are likely to opt for the status quo. We should know in a couple of hours' time.
John Donison reporting. And researchers in Britain say improved scanning methods may mean that fewer patients who've received chemo and radiotherapy for advanced head or neck cancer will require surgery. The scientists say using advanced imaging to spot surviving cancer cells could make such operations unnecessary. BBC News.